Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around, I'm talking over. So many things that I want to say.
Yeah.
You know, I like my girls a little bit older.
Woo.
I just want to use your love tonight.
In the books in training camp for the Patriots here in Foxborough. Day three tomorrow, and they're going to put the pads on.
Touch practice tomorrow.
9:15. Should be a good one tomorrow.
I'll be back for that one.
Yeah?
Yep.
Make a point to come on over?
Oh, yeah.
Should be a good one.
See if hit.
That's tomorrow here in Foxborough. Get here early if you're going to want to go to that. 617-779-0985. That other Patriot player we were waiting on left, so we can't talk to him today.
Oh.
We'll probably talk to him at some point.
Huh.
Just not today. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Noontime hour here on the show on this Friday. We got a couple of things going on. Patriots training camp in reaction to that, of course. I believe Dan Roach is going to stop by at 12:20.
That's exciting.
We don't know that yet. Not confirmed, still. Still hasn't gotten back to
us. Is he here?
Is he coming by?
No. I just told you 3 minutes ago. I'm going to check with Roach to see what his schedule looks like.
Oh.
We've been.
It's a way to throw Beetle under the bus.
But in our mind, it was 12:20 all day. He's going to come by.
Possibly.
He's going to come
by. He doesn't know what his requirements are after practice.
Come on, Roach. Yeah. What's he got to do? Tag a David Price piece?
I thought it was more like he's coming. It's probably going to be 12:20, but we don't know.
Nice.
Put that back on.
Put it back on.
All right. Well, maybe Dan Woo. Roach stops by. Phil Perry's coming by today. Phil Perry will be here.
That's confirmed. 120.
That's 120. Okay. 120, Phil Perry. Maybe Dan Roach later this hour. I'd like to talk to Dan Roach about a couple of things. Number one, he's here at training camp, so there's things to talk about on that front. Number two would be Alex Cora last night trying to explain why he didn't even consider using Mitch Moreland in the ninth inning as a pinch hitter. At any point, but especially for Jackie Bradley Jr. The bases were loaded. Fernando Rodney was in the game in the ninth in a 2-1, one-run game last night. Jackie Bradley Jr. struck out to end the game. And the Red Sox are losing at home to the Twins. Okay. Pinch hitting, as Cora said, and we'll play the audio for you, isn't easy. He said it's not easy, not an easy thing to do. Generally speaking, I would agree with that. That's fine. But is that a reason not to use a pinch hitter? Oh, pinch hitting is hard, so don't do it. I'm not going to do it.
That's so not a part of the game.
And listen to Alex Cora, because there's a part of this that I find I'm offended by.
The same way that you were offended by Dave Dombrowski and him trying to tell you this is the reason we got Evaldi instead of Zach.
No, I'm not offended by that. I just think he's full of crap. I'm not offended by that. I mean, he must take us for fools.
You know what?
But he's
lying. You know what? Okay, I get you. You
he's
know
he's either dumb or he's a liar.
He's lying.
He's a liar.
He's lying.
Yeah.
Cora's not lying. The sad part is you feel Cora's telling the truth.
Yes, I do. I do feel like he's telling the truth, which is why I find it offensive.
Right.
Here it is. Alex Cora after the game.
Any thought of pinch hitting Mitch there in the ninth?
No.
Is he healthy?
Yeah, he's okay. Yeah.
Chris had asked about the Moreland thing. Just eight pretty good numbers against Rodney lifetime. Any reason why you didn't want to hit him there?
No, I mean, we got all the lefties. That pinch hitting thing is not that easy. So, we got men in scoring position with Rafi, and then we felt the at-bats after that. They were good ones. We're not going to hit there for Brock. He's a good at-bat there, and Jackie's one of our best hitters the last month. I don't think there was a spot there.
The lefty excuse is All right, let's get to the start of it, though. The start. Any consideration or any thought? Did you give any thought to it? No. Really? You didn't even think about it?
Do you know who the player at bat was?
You gave it no thought? You didn't even think about it?
No.
That, to me, is ridiculous. It's one thing if you say, you know, I did think about it, but I ultimately decided against it. Against it. But he says he never even gave it a thought.
Why should I have to tell
you?
And
never even crossed his mind.
No, he should. What he should have said is, "Well, we thought about it, but ultimately, I made the decision. I'm not going
to
do it."
It's your job to
instead
have
of just
cross
nah.
your mind,
right?
You should
it's
have
your
been
job.
Thinking about it.
Your job to weigh every single expectation. It's something like that. Okay, we talk about things you don't worry about as the offseason approaches, right? I think JD Martinez is going to be pretty good. We think Chris Sale is going to be good. I think Craig Kimbrell is going to be all right. We worry about the eighth inning. We talk about Alex Cora not managing during the regular season, but doing a good job to get them there. Does he have the ability in the postseason when these type of things come up? Tight game, people on base, and Jackie freaking Bradley Jr. up to bat. If he tells you it doesn't cross his mind with advancing to the championship series on his mind,
right?
Give me a break.
So if
no,
it doesn't
this
cross
is,
your mind.
This is a core
the
concern. There's your first core concern of the year.
If right it doesn't there. Cross your mind, or you give it zero thought. In July against the Twins in a one-run game where the stakes are literally nothing,
yeah.
right? I mean,
right.
they lost last night.
It's sure not, as hell better if it's Houston or Cleveland or the
right.
Yankees.
What happens
if you know they're going to score runs?
So
and you need to score runs.
If that's a one-game playoff game, and again, it doesn't look like
that's
it's
a bad
be,
answer. By
it doesn't
court,
look like
no.
it's going to be one of those.
No.
But if you're in game five of a divisional series and you're in that situation, you're not going to give it any thought? You're not going to give it a thought? No? You're just going to roll with it? Because why? Because pinch hitting is hard?
Oh, you got all lefties.
It's not easy? It's Mitch easy. Moreland, who's a left-handed hitter? Lifetime is a pinch hitter. 23 for 80. That works out to a .288 average. Three home runs, four doubles, 18 runs batted in over those 80 at-bats. On base of .380. Slugging, .450, and an OPS of .830 as a pinch hitter in his career. Since 2016, Moreland has the best batting average among pinch hitters in baseball.
Right.
He's batting .429 as a pinch hitter since 2016. Mm. How you like them apples? So you're right. It's
you
not easy.
Like apples.
It's not easy. And as I said earlier, I agree with that. Generally speaking, it's not easy to be a good pinch hitter.
No.
Mitch Moreland is a good pinch hitter. He's actually thrived under that stress and being put on the spot after not playing all night. He's actually one of the really good ones. In fact, he's got the best batting average in the league since 2016 at doing that job and doing that gig. And generally speaking, even if you don't want to look at the matchup, the 6-for-10 against Fernando Rodney lifetime, he's got good numbers against Rodney. I understand you don't always want to just bank on what those numbers are. How about you just use your head and say, you know what? I'm not going to send Bradley up there. We got Mitch Moreland. He's a better hitter. Mitch Moreland is a better hitter than Jackie Bradley Jr. Let's use a better hitter. Take everything out, all the statistical evidence that tells you he's good at doing it. Just in your head, who's a better hitter? Right now, go. Mitch Moreland.
Oh, God, Mitch Moreland.
Of course! Why would you not want to put a better hitter at the plate?
Oh, you mean Mitchie Two Bags?
It's just, it defies any real logic there.
It's time to sell high on this guy. It really is.
I don't get it.
You're never going to have more value for what you have right now. And Jackie Bradley Jr.
Did you give it any thought? No. What? Your job is to give it thought. I get it if you say, I thought about it and I decided no, and here's why.
Thank you.
But
you're
to
right.
just be completely thoughtless about that?
You're totally right.
Like, I believe him. It never crossed his mind.
No. He told you. No.
Nah. I believe him, and I don't believe Dave Dombrowski. In fact, I think that guy is full of it.
He has to be full of it. Because if he's not, then your baseball team has some big problems if that's the actual thing that they believe.
And that's giving Dave Dombrowski credit by saying,
yeah.
I think he's full of it.
Right.
Because there's no
he's
way he could possibly just choose Nathan Eovaldi over Zach Britton.
I don't buy that. Call it a better fit for his team.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I don't think anybody's going to buy that.
No.
That was one part of the Red Sox equation last night. The other part was something that Maz reported. You may have heard it in a promo today on the station, but Maz has some inside info. He had a scoop on how the talks between the Red Sox and Orioles went down. Mm. Why don't we play that sound coming back for you on the other side? Rochy may or may not be here at some... He's a no! Rochy bailed!
Unreal.
And he didn't bail. That's unfair.
Rochy slammed today.
All right.
He's absolutely slammed.
With what?
He's so slammed. He's on his way to Fenway calling in a blog, like voice to somebody's typing it out for him.
Yeah,
that's
that
how busy it is.
Yeah, he didn't bail on us. We just tried to get him. Couldn't do it. We'll make it work another day.
Bert was here yesterday. He wasn't doing anything.
What? Let's get to the sound of Maz, what he reported about the Orioles and Red Sox and their discussions about Zach Britton yesterday on Felger. Maz will play it for you next.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The way I heard it, okay, and I emphasize it that way, I'm just telling you the way I heard it is that in discussions with the Orioles that the Red Sox said, hey, look, you know, Britton's a more complicated acquisition for us because if we get him, we have to pay the luxury tax at 62.5%.
Because he definitely put you over that 237.
Right. So he is a more expensive player for us than he is for everyone else. Why did the Orioles give a crap about that?
And you didn't even finish it. So then we have to give you less because he costs us more. So our give to you has to be a little bit less because he's costing us more on the back end.
Correct. We have to give up less in the way of talent because we have to pay more in the way of money.
So they made their problem Baltimore's.
Right. And so Baltimore looks at him and says,
we don't care about your tax.
Exactly. Well, that's your problem. I don't care. If you can't manage your money, what the hell do you want me to do? Too bad.
Tony Maz yesterday on Felger and Maz talking about the discussions that went on between the Red Sox and Orioles.
It's a great take. It's common sense.
I mean, what is?
Huh?
What's common sense?
That you have nothing to give. You have nothing in your system. You know, to get a guy like Britton, you're going to have to pay a hell of a lot of money. So in essence, you're trying to flip it around and blame it on Baltimore for, well, we really can't give you anything because we really don't have it. Plus, we're going to have to pay extra in taxes. Like, you're going to have to give up. Yeah, you got to give up something to get him. So,
well,
you're in essence, you're blaming Baltimore for it. I see what Tony's saying, but it's your own problem. Your positioning is what you put yourself in.
If this was said, and I have no doubt that it was said, if it were said at the end of it where the Orioles are saying, you know, let's say Dan Duquette and Dave Dombrowski are talking, and Duquette says to Dombrowski, Dave, you really can't give us anything more than what you're offering right now? Really? This is all you can offer? And the explanation is, look, Dan, it's because we're going to have to pay the guy so much money that we can't also be giving up a lot of prospects.
But you got to get the guy first.
And that's why I'm not offering something better, right? If that's the rationale saying, hey, I got a boss, I got ownership. If I bring on a guy who's going to cost the team a ton of money, they're going to be pissed if I also give away the farm. If that was how it was said,
so no deal.
Then you say, well, all right, at least I know where you're at least I understand why you're trying to lowball me on this guy.
Good, I'll call you.
However, if it were said in the way that I think Maz probably believes it was said, which is, hey, come on, work with me here. I can't pay this guy a lot of money and you expect me to give you a lot too. That's what if you're the Orioles, you say, what? Why do I give a flying bleep about your money and your tax situation? What? There's a market. There's multiple teams that want the player. Whoever comes up with the best offer is going to get him. Why? I don't care about what you're going to have to pay him.
Right.
And if it was actually said by anybody on the Red Sox side as like an effort to like lower the price, that is stunning. How could you be so foolish? How could you think that was going to work or think that the Orioles would care or see your side of it? I think that's crazy. Because you're close to the tax, because you're going to have to pay the guy a lot of money, because your competitive balance tax situation is far worse than the Yankees. You expect the Orioles to give a damn?
Yeah, I mean, they really have the audacity to sit there and say, come on, guys. You're 43 games out of first. Help us out here. This isn't your year.
We need
this piece.
Again, that's the only acceptable way that I would accept that came up in conversation. Is that as like on a personal level, for example, Dave, are you serious with this offer? Listen, man, I know it's not a great offer. I know that it's you know, you might get better offers. I'm just going to explain to you why it is I can't offer more from our perspective, just giving you our side of it. If it was used as like a way to try and convince them to trade him for less, then that would just be dumb. What are you doing? They don't care about your salary tax. Yeah, the Baltimore Orioles, quite possibly the worst team in baseball when it's all said and done, are going to care what the Red Sox salary spending situation is? What do they care? In your division, too? Get out of here with that crap.
There's no way that what you just said is the way it happened either. Because if that's the way it happened, it doesn't get out. Yeah. The only reason it got out was because, can you believe this guy? What he's doing? That's why it got out.
Yeah. And that's why I'm saying, and that's why I believe Maz reported it the way that he did, because his understanding of it is it was used as a way to try and lower the price. And the Orioles laughed in their face. And it got out because the Orioles are laughing in the Red Sox face now and are telling people, you won't believe what Dombrowski tried to pull on us.
I picture the phone call coming into Maz, whoever it was, saying,
whoever it was,
hey, how about your GM there?
What a
look
clown.
At this guy.
Look at this guy. Look at clown shoes over here. Look at this guy. Waka waka. Oh, what a joke.
What a yawner.
James on the Cape. James, what do you got for us today?
What do you guys think about Cora purposely leaving Jackie Bradley Jr. in there, knowing that he may not be the best hitter, but if he hits a grand slam there or just gets a base hit, wins the game, his trade price goes way up, his value, right away. You know,
do you think a player's trade value can go way up based on one at-bat?
No.
Not saying that, but if you trade him maybe the next day, he has been trending a little bit better lately.
Nah, so. He screwed up. Because, I mean, you could even phrase it the other way. Shoot, I better not let him bat here because he could strike out. And other teams who may want to acquire him because his value is so high, I don't want to lessen that value with his inability to hit at the plate. So it works both ways.
Okay, James, I'm going to assume that
he just blew it. He just said, nah, I didn't even think of it.
I'm going to assume that James's conspiracy theory is 100% factual, right? That's why. I'd say, what are you doing? That's not your job. You play to win. You manage to win.
Yeah, he screwed
it up. You put your
up.
Team in the best situation
he blew
to
it.
Win.
He blew
your
it.
Job is not worrying about trades or the roster or any of that. That's not your job.
Yeah,
Cora do your
it.
Job.
Cora blew it.
He did. He blew it. He made a bad managerial decision last night. And by the way, the bad managerial decision may not necessarily have even caught up with him if that happened for Jackie Bradley Jr. If Jackie Bradley Jr. hits a grand slam last night, it's still not a good call. The decision was made before the outcome was determined.
How about pinch hitting for Blake Swihart, two batters earlier with two outs? Or Brock Holt, the batter earlier
like
with
I
two
said,
outs?
There are multiple
either
guys
way.
He could have pinch hit for in that inning. Multiple guys. Antonio in Foxborough. Antonio.
Hey, how are you?
What's up?
Hey. I was at training camp today, and
nice.
I didn't see Isaiah Wynn.
What? He's out there.
I mean, I can't
I haven't
tell
seen
you, I
any reports that he
Wynn
didn't
today.
Report or...
He's out there.
He's out there. 50. What's his number? 52?
And that's what we got on Isaiah Wynn.
Was he 52?
I don't even know.
Well, Sonny Michel's 51. No, he'd be 50.
Backup left tackle. That's where he was today.
And Waddle was back up to Cannon. And then Cannon left with an injury.
It's pretty
Walked
obvious
off with
that Brown, I mean, I just think 2 days that... It's pretty clear that Trent Brown has the inside track here on getting that left.
Oh, I can't wait to watch tomorrow. I just want to see him hit. Put on the pads. Let's see who lines up. And that's, I mean, it's one thing to run around helmets and shells and do get your fit and kind of do your three-quarter speed thing. It's just tempo picks up so much more when you have pads on. Get a couple cracks out there. Crowd should be huge tomorrow.
You're going to be here.
Yeah. I'll be here.
All right.
Brody, we coming back? Come back tomorrow? Nice.
Yeah. Brody's here today.
Nice.
He's loving it. 617-779-0985. Do you have those binoculars, Jim? Can I have those for a minute? I'm going to take a picture of these. Did you see these things today, Zoe? So, Jim.
Where'd you get that from? Your great uncle?
Jim brought these binoculars today.
Grandfather.
From his grandfather, which your grandfather claims he used in the Korean War. That's his claim?
Yeah. They're really old.
I believe him.
Really?
I believe him.
Why do you believe him?
Because look at how old they are. I bet that's...
Does it say USA on them or
I mean,
something?
Just look at the writing and stuff on it. They're also not as high-powered as what you can find, like, in half the size now.
Wow. These are...
But they're heavy. What do you think?
They don't really zoom in. It's like somebody get out of a cereal box.
So my question is...
Hey, bro, it's like here's a pair like Brody got home and it's like sci-fi kid.
I don't want to break my hand. My question is, how the hell did we win the Korean War? You know, how did we even have a shot? I mean, going in with this thing.
Well, what did they use?
What Ted Williams was using.
What did they counter with?
Again, not a win there, but I'm saying, how did you
undefeated?
How did you go in ever thinking that these were going to be, you know, the high end technology in that battle? What can you see in these?
I mean, well, maybe they didn't even use binoculars. You know?
They had them.
I don't know. Those are nice.
They're solid, man.
They weigh about 10 pounds.
You know what? You can hammer in a nail with that. Multifaceted tool.
Really good.
Break a window. Do all
look at the strap. I mean, you don't see a strap like that anymore.
No.
On see these things.
Boy, true. The stretch this thing. It's nice, Jim.
617-779-0985. That means that those are like nearly 70 years old, right?
Yeah. I got them like 15 years ago, and they were
ancient old. Then. These are impressive. I mean, it's impressive that they look this good, but we got to get better ones.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Man. Where's mine at? Where's my binoculars? I brought mine today. Somewhere around here.
Got to get yours. We are live from training camp. Hardy has our headlines. Get you caught up on things. We'll get to more of your calls. We'll get open phone lines on this Friday, 617-779-0985. We're lucky that the blowers and mowers have not started yet. I'm thankful for that. Let's send it back to the Town Fair Tire Studios. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Hub Headlines.
A lot of defensive work going on, or a lot of defensive props being given out at Patriots training camp today. Apparently the corners had a good day busting up passes thrown by Tom Brady and the other quarterbacks. The session has ended for the day. It will continue again tomorrow with another practice at 9:15, again on Sunday, and then the season ticket holders and Foxborough residents only scrimmage on Monday night. Meanwhile, the big development, according to Mike Giardi of NBC Sports Boston, he said that right tackle Marcus Cannon left midway through practice with a trainer. He didn't see a noticeable limp. He didn't see if there was a play that actually caused an injury. For the Red Sox, they lost to the Twins 2-1 last night. Brian Johnson got the start. He went 5 2/3 innings. No runs allowed, just 4 hits. Tonight, it's Lance Lynn to the mound for the visiting Minnesota Twins. In the second of the 4-game set, he's 7-8 on the year with a 5.23 ERA. Chris Sale goes for the home team, 11-4 record and a 2.13 earned run average. Yankees outfielder Aaron Judge hit by a pitch last night. First inning, he suffered a chip fracture in his right wrist. The Yankees say they expect him to be out for 3 weeks. And the Tennessee Titans signed left tackle Taylor Lewan to a 5-year, $80 million extension. $50 million guaranteed makes him the highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history. Headlines are brought to you by Cardi's Furniture and Nairopia Cardi's Furniture Mattresses with Nairopedic Lift, the new high-low vertical lift adjustable bed exclusively at Cardi's. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Miss something?
So what happens now?
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Oh, the Falcons are so stupid. Look at this tweet. Atlanta Falcons account in hashtag in brotherhood 3 minutes ago.
I can't
with
stand
the star receiver and Matt Ryan.
Tool bags. Thursday's dedicated to the ball down there, right?
God.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know that I had anything against the Falcons.
They need that stuff down there. They need to create flair.
Do you know what
come up with gimmicks
in an odd way made me start hating the Falcons? Mm-mm. Was the way they collapsed against the Patriots.
Right.
Like, had they won that game, I wouldn't hate them. I would have really nothing against them. Right? What's there to not like? I mean,
right.
The fact that they lost made me not like them. You losers. You didn't see what? You didn't see this coming? Like, you thought the Patriots were gonna go away quietly?
I will never forget the way that game ended, that entire quarter and a half where Matt Ryan would run to the sideline, take his helmet, put it down underneath the bench, and take that red Falcon hat and put it on, and then proceed to cross his arms and stand up and stare at the Jumbotron.
Unbelievable.
And that happened every series. every back and forth. Not once. And you look at the Patriots. What do you got? We got Brady and Edelman all talking to each other. Brady with McDaniels going through stuff. What do we want to do next? What are we getting ready here? So, oh God.
Have a little spillage there. Got a little piece of broccoli on the table there, too.
Right, we're good.
Coleslaw. Carrot from the coleslaw.
It's okay.
Good?
Yeah.
Okay. Sean is in New Hampshire today. What's up, Sean?
We got Sean.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
That doesn't sound good. No, we can't.
No. Take another call.
Nope.
Hey, let me see. Can you hear this? Can you hear that?
Oh, that's so annoying. Stop doing it.
Oh, that's what it sounds like.
Stop doing that.
God.
Maybe he'll call back.
Freaking Falcons, though. You see what I'm saying? Like, what adjustment that final fourth quarter did Matt Ryan do? Or what did they tell him? Hey, you know what? The great Kyle Shanahan was going to get the gig to coach Jimmy
Garoppolo. What did anybody do there? Forget Matt. I mean, he's one of the guys.
Matt, settle down. Set it down. Here's what I'm going to do. And this is about situational coaching. Okay?
Run the freaking
ball. Belichick does it. Parcells did it. We would have the game in hand. We would think we had it in hand. Now, hey, we're going to have to hit a pass here, okay? And when I call the pass, I'm trusting you that you're not going to take a sack, you're not going to get a holding call, and you're not going to throw the freaking ball to the other team, okay? High percentage, quick throw, get it out of your hands, let's pick up the first down and end this game. And that's how you would end games. You had no communication. You saw Dan Quinn there like this. He couldn't believe it was happening, the ball guy, the head coach. Wasn't Brian Cox on their staff?
Yeah.
Did he get fired after that game? Why? Did he do less than everybody else? I don't see anybody coaching anybody up during that game.
I do. I don't know what it is.
You know what Atlanta does?
You know what I want to know? Do other Patriots fans feel that way about the Falcons now? I do.
Oh, I'm not afraid of Falcons. I'm not scared.
No, not afraid of them. Can't stand them.
Yeah.
Look at them and say, what a bunch of losers they are. A loser team. Never going to get it.
You know what? I even felt it even more. They choked it away in Philadelphia. Like, they went out and beat the Rams. Went out there, played well enough to beat the Rams, advance. You're in the NFC title game. I sure as hell thought we were getting Atlanta because I believed in them. Because I thought, you know what? At the beginning of the year, Super Bowl hangover, that loss killed them. They found a way to crank it up and get it going again. Got into the playoffs. Good playoff win. Next thing you know, you're in the NFC championship game. So you're right back to where you were. And they were close. How many plays in the red zone did they miss?
They had their opportunities.
Force it to Julio Jones. One more time to Julio Jones. Give it to Freeman or somebody.
I remember saying, I believe I said, I think.
They blew that game.
I think it's going to be the Eagles in the Super Bowl, but I am hoping for the Falcons.
So it's not like they were going there to win it. They were there to score to win and take that lead and go to another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They blew two big games back to back.
They didn't do it.
I gotta say, it was a
testament for them to even get back to the NFC title.
Terrible.
That to me was impressive in and of itself that they got back to that title game.
Yeah.
Well, I am curious, though, how Patriots fans feel about the Atlanta Falcons. Not a team in the conference, not a team in the division, not a team you got to worry about on a regular basis. Just thoughts on that team. Because I, you know, like everybody else, follow all the NFL teams on Twitter and all
right.
that. And you see tweets and you just think to yourself, man, I really don't like that team.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they, you know, had this big holdout down there for a guy who's got 3 years left on his contract. And they cave on day one. Day one, I get they didn't give him any more money. But still, I don't know. There's something about that team that I can't quite come to like them.
It's that talented, soft aspect to them. No grit. See, you knew Seattle
I think Julio Jones is a beast.
Well,
he's the top
two receiver in the game.
He's
Bill.
Amazing. He's a great player.
Remember when you look at Seattle, and when Seattle was good, they had a lot of good talent, but they also had an edge.
Like
that
grit.
That team played with an edge.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't have an edge in Atlanta. They never did. This is why they keep extending everybody. They say, you know, let's just keep it together. We need to. It's a good advertisement for us. It's a good product to sell.
617-779-0985. Zolak and Bertrand from Patriots training camp today. I don't like that team.
This team here needs to find an edge.
You know, this season?
You know, and I think that's why part of going back to basics, like drafting the Wynn kid out of Georgia. He's sort of like a Mankins-type player. You know, give me a dirty lineman like that. Give me Hightower back here. I think Gilmore can play with an edge. If Gilmore's playing with confidence and knows what he's doing, remember when he started fights out here last year with Edelman?
Yes.
Like, that guy's got an edge.
Yes.
You need some guys that got an edge. And maybe this Claiborne kid can give you some, too.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because there was a little bit of that hand fighting today. Not anything that was a real fight.
No, I was like, wow.
Right. There was some of that Joe Kim, Taekwondo.
Jun Lee.
No, Joe Kim.
No, the Jun Lee. There's a local guy.
No, I know about
Jun Lee self defense.
Yeah. Nobody ever going to bother you.
Nobody going to bother me.
Right. Jun Lee. But Joe Kim is the Patriots.
He's talking about
guy.
The bald guy from the Midwest named Joe Kim. That's the Patriots' strength.
Yeah, that's right? What I'm talking about. Joe Kim.
I know he's talking about.
Taekwondo expert. Jimmy on the road.
From Ohio, Jim.
Jimmy on the road. Thoughts on the Falcons. Give me a thought.
All right, so the best thing for me about that whole the Super Bowl was watching the owner of the Falcons come down on the field early.
Arthur Blank,
another tool.
Him and his
stupid
wife.
Stupid mustache.
As their Super Bowl slipped away from their fingers. That's all I got.
Yeah, remember they were up there and they're like,
but do you hate them now?
The roof.
Do you find yourself not being able to stand them?
No, you laugh at them.
Because I look at them and I don't know, I don't like them. I don't like anything about them.
Do you hate them more than you hate the Cowboys?
I don't think that I really hate the Cowboys. I laugh at the Cowboys. That's the team I laugh at.
Mm-hmm.
I laugh at the Cowboys. I laugh at the Cowboys fans.
See, at least Atlanta doesn't think they're good. Cowboys think they're good. They think they're great.
They always think
they're
great.
They think they're great.
Which is so funny to me. Because the Cowboys fans should be angry.
Like, know the room, right? What was the Bill saying? Playoff caliber. Right?
I feel like the Cowboys fans are never angry enough.
Here's our goal. Be playoff caliber.
You know what they did, though? They made the playoffs.
Well, how'd that do? How'd that work out for the coach?
The worst playoff game I've ever seen against the Jags.
Yep. And they should have beat the Jags.
I'm looking for more teams to hate, though. I don't have enough of them right now. I don't know if there's enough teams to hate. Do you hate the Jags?
Who?
The Jaguars?
No.
You don't hate the Jaguars.
I actually like the Jaguars.
Hate their quarterback.
Yeah, again.
You don't even hate the quarterback.
I don't even hate him.
Like, you're meh.
Yeah, this guy.
You know what we need? We need that Baltimore hatred back.
I think you might start to get a little of it this year, but
this
I don't
Baltimore
know.
Team, we can see in the playoffs. Maybe.
They're going through like a rebuild. They
everybody
are.
Everybody keeps saying, John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson's going to play. I don't know where, but he's going to play.
You know what John Harbaugh's record is the last five seasons?
No.
40-40.
Wow. Huh. Mr. Mediocre.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. We'll get to more
Coach
of your football
average.
Calls.
Coach Average.
He's like Mr. It's like Jeff Fisher. To try and play it
Jeff
right.
Jeff Fisher.
Right down the middle.
You don't make yourself sick? Look up the amount of money Jeff Fisher has made in his life.
I'd rather not. 617-779-0985. Reaction to camp today and also new story from Bleacher Report that's out today. We'll touch on that coming back next.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
All right, we need to issue an immediate correction. Plenty of people have corrected us on this. The NFC title game was the Minnesota-Philly game. How do we forget that?
How pathetic. My utter lack of respect and disrespect for the Vikings.
That was a blowout, that game.
The Vikings shouldn't even have been in it.
It was a total embarrassment. That game the week after the miracle for Minnesota against New Orleans.
Yeah.
That was when that happened.
Because I watched
that same weekend was Atlanta Philadelphia. That's the game we were talking.
I watched the two Atlanta games. So I watched Atlanta go up to the Rams.
Do you remember the final
weekend.
Score? I just had to look it up. I knew it was low.
It was like 13-10.
15-10 was the final score.
They blew that game. They had a chance. They had a chance.
Oh, they had a million chances in that game. That was a horrible game.
They kept throwing
horrible game.
They kept throwing fade routes to covered Julio Jones. Just kept forcing it.
I can't believe you forgot how that all played out.
Bill, you have an excuse that weekend.
Yeah,
in fairness.
I got to be honest. That few weeks is a bit of a blur.
Did you get whacked that weekend?
That weekend.
That was the Patriots Tennessee game.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. That game was.
But you went right home, right?
I didn't watch that game.
Where's Hardy?
I didn't watch that game. I did not watch the Atlanta Philly game. I was unavailable.
Is Hardy there?
Is Hardy there?
I am right.
Hardy,
remember Beto went home after that wreck?
Yeah, you know who the first guy to call me was?
Zolak.
Hardy.
Yes.
Hardy.
I was very much looking forward to stopping by the hospital and bringing them, a carton of smokes and some,
Playboys.
Hustlers. Yeah. No. And keep it classy. But no, he was already home.
I'm saying, in hindsight,
I'd have brought you some cookies.
Bailing out of there may not have been the best call.
I mean, you're great.
So you and your stupid adrenaline. You believed all of your adrenaline, man.
I didn't feel so great in the days following.
Why? Because 6 months later, you still don't feel great? Yeah, maybe you should have stayed in the hospital for more than 20 minutes, dum-dum.
Hey, I went to work after I flipped mine five times.
And we're still suffering the consequences of it all these
years. Also a bad idea.
But I did have a stiff neck that week, and it wasn't stiff. It wasn't stiff that morning.
Yep.
I think it was the pillow at home.
Felt rather sore the next day. All right. So Dan, what's his face there?
Roach.
Atlanta, not Dan Roach.
Dan Quinn.
Comes into camp and gives a speech yesterday. We're going to get to the Patriots story from Bleacher Report. I'll read you those quotes.
Do we have audio of this speech? Don't you dare tell
so
me.
So as I now...
Do we have audio?
I hate follow the Falcons on Twitter now.
This could be our new thing. Hate. This is why we hate
I don't
the
know
Falcons.
Why we're doing it 2 years later, but we're hating the Falcons now. Dan Quinn gave a speech to the team, and they posted it. They recorded it.
No, they didn't.
They recorded it and posted it on Twitter.
I need it now.
And we haven't heard it because we can't listen here. We're on remote.
I haven't heard it yet.
Hardy has it.
I haven't
Hardy
heard it yet.
Hardy has it for us.
I'm going to play it.
Can you play it for us?
We're going to play it. Stop whenever let's we need it. To.
All right,
ready?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Let's talk about the standard. And up there, I'm not going to read each of them, but what I would like to hit on first is we reworked this together in the spring.
Okay, first of all, I have to stop myself
what's
right
standard?
Away.
Standard?
Because he is doing the worst possible thing. Anyone who's had to sit through one of these, he's got, like, a sign up in front of him, it sounds like. I haven't seen it. But it's like somebody who does a PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, God.
And all they do is read everything on the screen. Like, why don't you just hand this out then? What? We're all literate. You know, we can read it ourselves.
Right.
But he's going to read everything that's up there, apparently. So here we go.
Up there, I'm not going to read each of them, but what I would like to hit on first is we reworked this together in the spring. And the first line of the first one says, we have a standard we live up to every day. And there was one guy.
Inspiring.
I mean, don't we all?
I mean, hey,
don't we all?
I don't know about you.
We all have different standards.
Me,
but we all live up to some sort of standard every day.
Me being a multi-million-dollar professional athlete coming into camp first day, and this is my fierce leader, comes at me with that. I'm like, I'm ready to run through a freaking wall. I don't know about you. I don't know. Stop there, coach.
We all have a standard.
I don't even need anything
every
more.
Day.
Right, we have a standard every day. Now, the thing
I'm
is here,
now.
You'll learn very quickly it's pretty low standard, so I don't want you to be put off by this. But there
See,
is a standard.
You're morphing into the owner of the Indianapolis Colts.
Or the Cowboys.
You think already?
Yeah, that was like an Ursay,
a little Ursay.
Jerry Jones mix.
Okay, all right, I'll work on it. Here we go. Yeah.
And there was one guy, to me, I was going to just give a couple examples as we're going, is Wes Schweitzer. And Brian.
What?
Who the hell's Wes Schweitzer? Yeah, I was talking to my attorney, Wes Schweitzer from Schweitzer and Fester. I mean, what is he talking about?
Wes Schweitzer, he is the accountant responsible for all travel expenses incurred on road trips.
He's Wes Schweitzer.
This is the first
is
3 minutes.
Is
this
a guard.
Is, I don't even care who Wes Schweitzer
for
is.
The
of course
Atlanta
he's a player.
He's a football
player.
He's a player for him.
Okay.
And grinding every day, not just for himself, but for other guys to get it right. And it's for men like you, Wes, that we're going to throw a great camp.
What?
We're going to throw
a great camp?
No, he's talking about camp like it's a party.
We're going
like, to throw a great party.
Oh,
we're going to throw a great camp.
Let's throw a camp.
There's going to be snacks. There's going to be all kinds of fun. There will be games.
Like if you're,
there will be.
If you're Julio Jones.
There will be face painting.
Can you raise your hand in the back like Julio Jones? Can I please hold out again? I want to hold out.
Yeah, I want to go back and hold out.
There will be multiple bounce houses.
Put that $2 million back on next year's contract. I'm good.
Oh, swimming pool is open. We're going to throw
and
a great
for
camp.
For men like
man.
You, Wes, we're going to throw a great camp. You had a hell of a summer, brother. I know you're ready to rock. Part in the middle.
Listen to the crowd. Listen to the reaction.
Congratulations, Wes.
Harumph, 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 harumph.
I know that you're fired up. You're ready to rock.
Yeah, this is Dan Quinn, head coach of the Falcons.
Oh,
to
God,
his
does he want
to
beat Pete Carroll?
To fire them up and begin camp.
He would love to beat Pete Carroll.
You had a hell of a summer, brother. I know you're ready to rock. Part in the middle about our battle, our strain for one another.
Battle.
Mr. Mack, are you a better player because of the hundreds and hundreds of reps you go against Grady? 100%. All right. Grady, are you a better ball player now because of the 2 years you spent with Alex? right? When you compete against somebody at equal talent or better, you're going to have to strain.
But practice makes perfect.
So wait a minute, Coach. So you're saying that if I practice something a bunch of times, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of reps,
I might get better?
And I do that against another guy that's in the NFL, and he's doing reps too, then one of us is going to get better?
Practice? Right. Good.
Wow.
Big takeaway right there. Right. That gets you fired up.
Right, right. Okay.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
When you compete against somebody at equal talent or better, you're going to have to strain and battle. And that's really what we stand for. And that's what this room is. You're about to create the most special environment in sports because of who you are together, collectively.
What happens when you have a lot of, like, I don't know, maybe cheese the night before and you're all bound up in the next morning?
And battle. And that's really what we stand for.
Yeah.
So for all you people that watch us across the country, if you're down there in the state of Georgia, for our friends down in Texas that get on us for when we make fun of the Cowboys, for my man like Rob in Oklahoma, Boomer Sooner, Rob. And this is why we tell people in Boston, you're so lucky to be a New England Patriot fan. You are so lucky because you don't deal with morons like this that sit up in front of a room for the first 5 minutes of what is now anew. Everything's old. This is where we're heading. We're going to battle because our strength is up against equal strength or more, and that's going to make us strain, but we're going to create that environment to strain in.
You're going to have to strain.
Strain. That's what we stand for.
That's right.
Strain.
Coach,
we stand for practice.
I had a couple too many bananas yesterday.
People wonder why the Patriots are favored every year.
Not enough fiber in my diet yesterday, Coach. What's that gonna mean for me tomorrow morning?
You're gonna have to strain and battle. Okay.
Thank you.
And that's really what we stand for. And that's what this room is. You're about to create the most special environment in sports because of who you are together, collectively.
Okay. All right. Okay, hold on. And I told you this story before, and it has a chance.
The most special environment in all of sports
over the years. There's 53 guys. Well, there's 90 sitting in that room now. So on a normal day, it's 53, right? 80 to 85% of the people I play with are some of the dumbest human beings in the world. And I've told you stories about them. We've had fun with them. When you throw 90 in there, it's like 90 dummies in there now. How many people are actually understanding and processing what he's saying? Because I'm having a tough time.
10.
Well, it's just a bunch of, like, non-speak. It's just, you know, words. Words, strain, battle, and stuff.
I'm so fortunate to play when I played. I had Bill Parcells. I had Pete Carroll. Hey, it works now for Petey. He figured it out. Pumped and jacked. I had Jimmy Johnson. Hey, guys, and I tell you this. You got to have a guy that can hold the freaking room.
Right.
This guy can't hold a room. They just gave this guy a 3-year extension.
And
I'd have made him coach
there's
his
not
ass
one leader in this room. There's a whole room full of them.
Oh, multiple.
No, there's not.
Multiple leaders. Multiple leaders.
And there's not one leader in this room. There's a whole room full of them. I wanted to make sure tonight was special because you're in a unique environment, all right? And a unique team.
Really? I'm in an NFL meeting room. Thanks, Coach.
We're going to throw a great one all the way through, but I couldn't be more pumped, man, to start this family reunion tonight and get
family reunion.
I can't. You know what?
There
I'd have a field day. If I played for this guy,
I'd
have a field day with this guy. We'd be in meetings at lunch. Hey, man, you get the family food? Hey, we having family-style dinners tonight? You know, with the big bowls? Guys, what we're doing? New training table.
Tonight?
No singular plates.
That's right.
Family-style plates. It's family.
Julio, when did you realize that coming back to training camp after only holding out for about 15 minutes was a bad idea? When did you realize?
Tonight.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you.
And get everything kicked off officially in the right way.
All right. See that?
There
football,
we go.
Football. Brought the little football back to football. Get
standards.
It kicked off. Yeah.
It's all about standards and practice.
Sure. What a tool. Sure.
From what I can tell.
What a tool.
Those are your Falcons.
Yeah.
90 seconds. Yeah. Headlines with Hardy back in our Town Fair Tire studios. And we're right back to Foxborough after this.